2 Kings chapter 4, beginning with verse 8. Everyone have it, say amen. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem. There was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Go down to verse 14. And he said, What then is to be done for her? This is Elisha talking to Gehazi. And Gehazi answered, Verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on the day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to a lad, Carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he set her on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, It shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi his servant, Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, It is well. It is well. We want to take for a subject tonight the eye of the storm. The eye of the storm. There's not many people in the Bible that are called great. Now, I read a lot of commentaries, and that word great woman struck me. Now, she remained nameless, but that was basically because of tradition. A lot of people in the Word of God are unnamed, but they do great miracles of God, like the widow of Zarephath and this woman here, a great woman, a Shunammite. Now, a lot of commentaries say that she was wealthy and rich and of a very high rank, so that's why they called her great. But tonight I want to bring out some things about this woman that shows us she was not only great with her wealth and her high rank, but she was great in the sight of God. And I believe that's why the Word of God says that she was a great woman. First of all, let's look at her perception. Her perception. She lived in Shunem, which was historical in the fact that on the same grounds that she walked daily, that Saul and Jonathan, that's where they met their death. Also, Israel fought a lot of battles and won a lot of battles on the same steps she walked against the Philistines. She was a daughter of the tribe of Issachar, and we don't have time to go into that, but the name of Issachar means ready for a burden. Ready for a burden. And we'll find out tonight she truly lived up to this name. Ready for a burden. Ain't that wonderful? When travelers would come to town, they would go to the center of town and they would sit there and they would wait for an invitation. If they didn't get an invitation, then they would have to sleep outside. And the host, if they were to bring a man and invite them to come into their house, they would have to take care of them. They would provide their food. They would provide their shelter. They would provide for them a bed. And even they would protect them from robbery. And so that brings us to this story right here of Elisha and this great woman of the Shunammite. She perceived he was a man of God. Now that brings me to a very good point. Your walk influences your testimony. We had no record of her ever talking to Elisha. But she perceived that he was a man of God. I wonder if we go outside tonight, go down to Walmart, how many people perceive that you are a man or woman of God. I'm sure he looked like a Christian. I'm sure he walked and talked like a Christian. But that's not all what it's about. There's something called character. There's something called loyalty. There's something called holiness. And it's not about all about what we wear. It's about what's in the heart. But I heard someone say the other day, if it's good in the heart, it'll come out on the outside. Now let's do that on the flip side. She perceived that he was a man of God. I wonder how many of us can look at somebody and tell if they're a man of God or not. That's something you need to pray about every day. Brother Deb told us preachers, he said, you pray for the discernment of the Spirit. I know a lot of people that have been taken by men and women of God because they did not have any discernment. I think as a young Christian, especially a young preacher and a young pastor, you need to pray for the discernment of the Spirit of God, because there's people that will lie right flat to your face and not say anything about it. They'll just lie right to you. And it takes you connected to the man of God upstairs to say, hey, there's something wrong with this person. And we need to have a good perception about people. So here we go. She invites him in and she talks to her husband and say, okay, I perceive this man is a man of God, a holy man of God. Now I want you to go up on top of the roof and I want you to make a chamber for him. Now a lot of times they would access this chamber through the outside of the house in the garden, and they would walk up to the top of the stairs, and there he made Elisha a room and he put the basic essentials. You can go back and read this tonight. I don't have time to go into it. But they put the basic essentials that Elisha would need. You see, years ago, Elisha, he could have made it, walk through it and not had to stop. But he's getting up in years now. And he needed a place to stop. And so this was a great godsend to Elisha. And so there come a point in their life when, because of her hospitality, Elisha wanted to give this lady something. And so him and Gehazi went to her and asked her, says, can we get you anything for you? Can we go to the king and say, hey, you know, this woman needs some help down here. She said, no, I dwell in my own country, which means, hey, I'm fine where I'm at. Don't worry about me. This is my job. I want to do this for you. I want to do this for you. But then, I'm sure Elisha and Gehazi talked it over. And Elisha might have said, you know, Gehazi, man, this woman's been so good to us. We got to do something for her. And Gehazi said one day, well, you know what? I noticed that her husband's a lot older than she is. And she don't have any kids. Now, at that time, kids were a blessing. They still are today. If you don't like kids, please don't have any. But back then, if you were barren, you were looked down upon. But what I noticed is, it was obvious to Gehazi, but this woman never said, you know, I would like to have a child. But by her answer, whenever Elisha said, this time next year, you're going to embrace a son. She said, don't you dare lie to me. You know what I got from that means? She was praying for that need. She was praying in her own private prayer closet. And the Holy Spirit spoke to Gehazi and said, you know what? This woman might want a child. And when Elisha prophesied, it came to pass. Amen. She bare a son. Now let's notice her pain. 10 or 12 years went by. Then on an ordinary day, her life changed. Her one and only son that God promised her. I want you to get that. God promised her that. Was out in the fields one day working with his father and suffered a sunstroke. And they brought him back in and laid him at his mama's feet. And I'm sure she cried and prayed, oh Lord, don't take him. Don't take him. This is my, you promised me, don't take him. Don't take him. And then at noon he died. At noon he died. Everything was going honky-dory for this woman. Everything was going just perfectly fine. And then all of a sudden, here comes the rain. Here comes the rain in her life. Here comes the storm. Here comes the thunder, just rolling, the thunder of death just rolling right around her. This was just an ordinary day, folks. An ordinary day, and all of a sudden, here comes the wind. Here comes the earthquake. Here comes the lightning out of nowhere. And her son is taken from her. And it caused her pain. I wonder how many times in our life have we just lived on an ordinary day. We just got up. Saying it's just an ordinary day. I'm going to go to work today. I'm going to be fine. And all of a sudden the rain starts to pour in. The lightning starts to flash. And the thunder comes. And out of nowhere, here comes a storm. Here comes a storm. It's not a matter, folks, of if you'll have a storm. It's a matter of when you're going to get a storm. An ordinary day turns into something out of the ordinary. I could go on and on about storms, can't I? I don't know how in the world that poor little girl can take what she's taken, Mary. I mean, we're no better than she is. But why does that have to happen to her? Storm. This woman, like so many of us, felt the pain. And you know, at one time or another, we have had a son just like this woman. The son represents your dreams, your goals, the things you look forward to, your health. And in a moment, a storm can pop up and it is gone. Your life is turned upside down. Most of the time, it's out of nowhere. She had pain. But I want us to notice her peace. She took her son and laid him on the prophet's bed, where I'm sure he had prayed many a prayer for them. And she sent for a servant and said, "I gotta go get the man of God. I gotta go get the same tenacity as that woman that said, I have to touch the hem of his garment." The same tenacity. And so she went, mounted the donkey, and went at least 20 miles. Picture, 20 miles on a donkey. They didn't stop to rest. They didn't stop to eat. They didn't stop to drink. She said, "You don't stop unless I tell you to. I've got to get the man of God." Her husband asked her, "What are you doing? It's not the Sabbath. It's not the new moon. What are you doing?" She said, "It shall be well. It shall be well." If you have your Bibles open, I want you to notice something. This is very important in order for you to get this. In verses 23, when she said, "It shall be well," and in verse 26, she said, "It is well." The King James puts it in italicized. "It shall be and it is." That's very important to you to understand this scripture. If you don't know what that means, the original text of the Bible was written in Hebrew, and when they translated it, they put words in that wasn't in the original text to help us understand the scripture. So "it shall be" and "it is" not in the original Hebrew text. So what she really said was, when Gehazi came to her, "Is it well with the child?" And she answered, "Well." Now, what does it have to do with anything? You've got to translate what "well" means. "Well" in the Hebrew means shalom, which means peace. Peace. Brian, how can you have peace in the middle of the storm? Because you're in the middle of the storm. You say, "What are you talking about, Brian?" There's a place that you can get in the middle of the storm where there's perfect peace. And you know what that place is called? The eye of the storm. You ever noticed a hurricane forming over an ocean? It's turning and turning, and it builds up speed coming closer to the Gulf of Mexico. And if you look on the Weather Channel or on the weather stations, you'll see there's a distinct circle in the middle of that hurricane. That's called the eye of the storm. The eye of the storm. Now, if you haven't realized it or not, the eye spiritually represents Christ and His will for our lives. Now listen to this. This is straight from the Weather Channel. This is not me. This is straight from the Weather Channel. The strongest of a hurricane's thunderstorms occur right outside the eye of the hurricane. Man, ain't that true? The closer you get to the center of God's will, the stronger the storms are. It's good, isn't it? But the eye itself, however, is calm with no thunderstorm. And no clouds. You understand what I mean? The eye of the storm, the center of the storm, right around that center of the storm is the most fiercest thunderstorms you will ever see in the hurricane. But right in the middle of the eye of the storm, there is no rain. There is no clouds. It's just sunshine. Woo! Glory to God! Listen to this. The air within the eye has a downward motion. And since clouds require rising air to form, they are unable to form in the eye of the hurricane. That means no clouds can form. That means you'll never have rain in the eye of the storm. Oh, this is good stuff. You better grab onto it. This is why a blue sky or stars can often be seen from the ground when the eye of a storm passes overhead. Mary, that's exactly where you're at, hon. Didn't she say it tonight? I'm not saying anything new. She said it tonight. She said, I don't know how would I have made it if it wasn't for the peace and the grace of God to get me through it. She said, I don't know how I've made it. You know why? Because you're in the eye of the storm. You're in a place in your spiritual life where you've had all you've known to have. And you say, Jesus, I'm tired of this. Take care of me. And you know what? It puts you right in the middle of the storm. But thank God right in the middle, there's perfect peace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The disciples were in the middle of the sea. And the storm came. They woke up Christ. And you know what Christ said? The same word as that Shunammite woman. Shalom. Peace be still. You know what, guys? The closer we get to God, and the closer we get to the center of His will, the storms may come, and the winds may blow, and rock this ship of mine. But the reason my ship will never sink, and today it's still afloat, my compass is His precious Word, and Jesus pilots my boat. That's how we can have perfect peace, because the eye of the storm is Jesus. Thank God. Let's notice her promise. This woman could have peace for only one reason, and that was the promise. What promise, Brian? Elisha said, you're going to have a son. And she put faith and action on that promise. She wasn't about to give up. When she finally, I read to you, whenever they finally saw her, and Elisha was worried about her. And something's wrong here. And so she finally goes up to him and gets to him. She wasn't satisfied with Gehazi. She wanted the man of God. And so she ran and grabbed his ankles. Gehazi went over and tried to push her away. You're getting too close to him. And Elisha said, wait a minute, Gehazi. Her soul was vexed. That means bitter. Ever been that way? She was vexed. She was set, folks. Because she wanted her promise. And her promise was her son. And her soul was vexed. And Elisha even said, her soul is vexed. The Lord hasn't revealed to me. The Lord hasn't revealed what's going on. And she begins to tell him, and Gehazi, he sends Gehazi with his staff. And Gehazi runs back and he said, don't talk to anybody. Don't pay attention to anybody. If anybody asks you what's going on, just go right by him. Go to the son and lay my staff on his head. But you know what? A dead stick ain't going to raise up a dead boy. It took a living God working through a living man to raise a dead boy. And she wasn't satisfied with a dead stick. She wanted Elisha. Wait a minute, Elisha. You prayed for him. You promised me a son. Now you get on your donkey and you get back to my house. I guarantee that's what she said. She was vexed, folks. And you know what? When you get a promise from God, You can have that tenacity when you're going at it. You can say, God, you promised me this. And I want it done now. Now sometimes, we might get a little bit too over anxious. Because God wants to work it out for His way. And His will. For His glory. In His time. Now will He perform His promise? Oh yes. But He'll do it in His time. Let's not get too over anxious. Now, Elisha went back. She pleaded with him. And this is a beautiful portion of Scripture. And I didn't have time to study out what all this means. I really couldn't find anything, to be honest. But I wanted so much for there to be something there. You know, sometimes we can look at stuff and think there's something there, but there's really not something there. But he went into the room and he closed the door. And he laid his face on the boy's face and his hands on his hands and prayed. And the boy's body began to get warm. And he kept on praying. And then the boy sneezed 7 times. The repeated sneezing, meaning that his respiration, that he was breathing on his own. That's why he needed to sneeze that many times. And ain't it amazing that God really gave this woman a double miracle, didn't she? Ain't that exactly what God promised Elisha? A double portion. And He gave this one woman a double miracle. Her barrenness was a miracle, and then He raised her son back from the dead. A double miracle. God said, He promised us that He would never leave us. He'd never forsake us. And just as that dead stick couldn't restore a dead boy, the law cannot cleanse you of your sins. It takes a living God to come into your dead soul and revive you. And Christ has promised us, Book of Romans, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's a promise. The same promise that this woman got about her son is the same promise God gave you that He will save you from your sins. And it's the same promise that He'll comfort you in the time of your storm and give you perfect peace. Isaiah says, that will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Him. When your mind is toward Christ, you can go through a storm and have peace. Because Christ is the captain of your ship. Ain't that a great place to be in God's, in your spiritual life? Not have any hold on the steering wheel. Not being a backseat driver. Just saying, Lord, whatever You do, I want You to do it. Whatever You want me to do, I'll do it. I want you to bow your heads. I have a song that really inspired this sermon. Maybe some of you have heard it on the radio. I'm going to have Brian play it here in just a few seconds. But I want to know, first of all, to the unsaved. Man, you're going through a storm. You realize that? You're going through a storm. The storm of sin. And you know what? There is no I in that storm, because it's just multiple and multiple thunderstorms and lightning and thunder, and it just keeps coming and keep coming, and it will keep coming until you let Jesus come into your heart. I wonder tonight, would there be anybody at all say, Brian, I'm going through that storm of sin, and I know I need Jesus to give me peace in my heart. That's what people are wanting today. That's what this world wants. I don't want to fight. I don't want us to go to war. I'd love to have peace. The Bible says when they say peace, then comes sudden destruction. I don't think there'll ever be peace on this world. The only real peace, the only perfect peace we'll ever have is in heaven. I really feel that.
But you can have a peace within your heart tonight that everything is right between you and Him. Will there be anybody? Raise your hand. Say, Brian, pray for me. I need Jesus in my life. Anybody at all? All over the sanctuary. Raise your hand up. Put it right back down. I won't come to you. I promise I won't. I won't badger you. Anybody at all? How many of the church would say, Brian, I know what it means to be in the storm. I didn't expect it. I didn't know I was going to go through it. And I need Jesus to give me peace. I need to get to that place where I'm right in the middle, where I can see sunshine, where there's no clouds. And my friend, you can be in that place if you want to be, if you let Jesus just take control. How many of you would be honest and say, Brian, I'm going through that. Would you please pray for me? God bless you, ma'am. Thank you. God bless you, ma'am. Thank you. Anybody else?